It's our pleasure to welcome you to the 10th Annual Institute on Church and Mission. On the one side, we're saying the 10th Institute, but in another way, I think many of us feel this is really the first annual institute, we hope, with the dimensions, with the scope of this particular size. I suspect that many of you have been here for perhaps 7, 8, or 9 out of the last 10 years. And I think you'll recognize immediately as you look at the program, as you received it in the mail, and as you saw it again last night or this morning, that this is by far the biggest institute we've ever attempted. We don't want to sound like Texans by simply emphasizing size. But the thing that really concerns us is the fact that we have 17 different agencies and departments in our churches working together, in which we're attempting to say that district presidents should be talking with those in welfare, and Walter Leaguer should be talking with those in stewardship. And so we go in terms of every relationship among the 17 groups represented in the room. Secondly, it strikes us that this is really an ecumenical meeting this time. We're very happy for all of those of you who are members of other church bodies who have joined us. We hope you will not feel overwhelmed with Lutherans, but rather we're hoping that some new perspective will be thrown upon our collective problems because you're here. And thirdly, we're impressed with the fact that this is truly international. Many of you have just returned from another spot in the world. At least 36 of you recently returned from various parts of the entire world in terms of the mission front. And therefore, we ask God's blessing upon these days together as we focus upon the theme, Equipping for Mission, and we hope that in every hour this entire week, the whole theme of the Church in Mission will be before us. At this time, we'd like to turn to the president of Concordia Seminary, Dr. Fairbringer.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's one of the very fine and pleasant perquisites of the office of the president of the seminary to be privileged to welcome many groups to our campus and also a group such as this. We're truly glad that we can serve the church in this way and serve all of you who are here. You recognize the fact that we're going to work under some handicaps this week. The work that is in progress in various buildings on the campus should have been completed even before the summer session began, but we'll not go into that now. We realize that the kingdom of God is always, as long as it's, this world stands, is always working under handicap, and perhaps it's just as good that we see some of the handicaps which the mission at Concordia Seminary also has. Of course, when we think of meetings, we often become somewhat cynical. The last opera, which was on deck at the Municipal Opera and closed last night, was How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. And at one passage in that opera, in that musical, the businessman speaks about all kinds of contributions that various crafts make. And then he says, and businessmen go to meetings. And it reminds us of the fact that this is an old complaint, that there are just too many meetings. In the earlier days of our synod, the proverb was frequently quoted, synodus synodare, undis blivit vias vare. So the synod meets and everything stays as it was. Now, that brings us to the concern as to whether that will happen with this meeting also, whether things will simply stay as they were, and we can go home and say we had a pleasant meeting, but then settle back to the routine. I think that if we keep in mind two sentences from the first chapter of the book of Revelation, we can obviate this outcome. We're in the eschatological age, I'm sure. We see the signs of the last days around us on every hand. And as we look at the book of Revelation, we recognize that this was written particularly for the last days. And there we find, first of all, for any task that we undertake, a greeting from our Lord himself. In chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, grace be to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and ruler of the kings of the earth. I think if we remember that this is God's meeting and that He, the eternal, the unchangeable God, is in charge of the affairs of His church, and that He has spoken to us and served us through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that through His death and resurrection we have become members of His body and co-workers with Him, the meeting won't be in vain. And in the second place, the motivation is supplied for us in the very next section of the first chapter. To Him who loves us and freed us from our sins with His life's blood, who made of us a royal house to serve as the priests of His God and Father, to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. If the motivation that we have in everything that we say and do during these days is the praise of God, who has done so much for us, then we're sure that the meeting will not have been in vain, but will achieve His purpose. And that we ask our Heavenly Father to grant us.
Thank you. We've had two fathers for this institute. One has recently left. This is Professor Bill Danker. Bill's been working with this institute from the very beginning. He had hoped to be here at least for today before he left for 1 year abroad in Germany, but found that he had to leave last night. The other father is Dr. Bill Hilmer, who represents the Interdepartmental Coordinating Committee of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Bill, would you like to stand for just a moment? If you have any concerns, any questions to be asked, if you'll see one of the two of us, we'll try to handle all of these items. We would like to have you sense, however, part of the vision that we had in trying to move this institute when we first talked about it some 12 and 13 months ago. And for this, we'd like to have Professor Danker still speak, although at this moment, he's in the eastern part of our country.
Greetings and our warmest welcome in the name of Him who is the Word, the beginning, the end, and the Lord of the mission. We pray the presence of His Holy Spirit in your midst during this entire Institute week. And as you take its insights, its fellowship, and its blessings along later into all the ways on which He sends you into His mission. I regret that after 14 months of work and preparation for this Institute, I could not be with you. Of course, I do not regret that you cannot see me. That's not important. But I am sorry that I can't see you and have fellowship with you in our Lord and in His mission. It is a real sacrifice for me to forgo koinonia with all of you, including fellowship with our missionaries at home and abroad. But this absence will also be a test of the soundness of our work and our planning. We have every confidence in God and in our consecrated and able colleagues. We thank God for so many people who are demonstrating their concern for God's mission through His church by their very presence. We welcome especially also the lay people present and our fellow believers and brothers in Christ from other denominations. The whole church is Christ's mission. This is an age of specialists, but specialists need integration with one another, especially in the Christian church. Concordia Seminary is therefore especially pleased to cooperate with the Interdepartmental Coordinating Committee of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod for the first time this year in presenting this expanded Institute on the Church in Mission. We believe that we have in this institute over the years developed a tried and tested format, offering on the one hand plenary sessions featuring the basic mission of all Christians, and then incorporating on the other hand a wide variety of afternoon workshops for groups having special missions in the church. In addition, there are many formal and informal opportunities for exchange, cross-fertilization, and mutual stimulation in the one body of Christ. We need specialization, we need diversity, and we need a framework within which we can interact, share, glory, and suffer with one another. If the church's agencies do not work together in one mission, they will not work at all. We're confident that a growing number of workshops and institutes will take advantage of the unusual opportunity of meeting within the larger setting offered them in this institute on the Church in Mission, and we are ready to serve them to this end. We believe that this institute has even more potential for future growth than it is demonstrating this year. I should like to pay tribute to Dr. William Hilmer. On the very day of my installation as professor of missions here at Concordia Seminary, he approached me about an institute on missions. His initiative and cooperation through the years have led to this 10th annual Institute on the Church in Mission today. President Oliver Harms led the Council of Presidents into this institute last year and set the pattern for the current expansion. Dr. Oscar Feucht was quick to see and seize the opportunities offered by an expanded institute for workshopping the affirmations on God's mission adopted by the Detroit Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 1965. And Dr. John Herman and other workshop leaders were likewise swift to realize the importance of relating their concerns to a profound study of church, world, and mission, and the biblical basis of the mission. My special thanks go to colleagues Dr. Arthur C. Repp, the academic dean, who was always generous with his time and counsel, and to Dr. David Schuller, assistant academic dean, who has kindly consented to take over much of the actual guidance of this project in continuing education. I can leave on my sabbatical with a tinge of regret at not being able to see the fruit of our joint labors, but at the same time with an easy heart, because I know that you are in such good hands. We have already begun to plan concretely for 1967 and 1968, and as a matter of fact, have projected plans all the way through to 1971. We believe they are exciting ideas. One suggestion that is receiving serious consideration is to concentrate on the biblical functions of witness, nurture, fellowship, worship, and service as these interact in God's one great mission. As we band together in a larger institute such as this, we can invite speakers of international stature who have much to offer in edifying Christ's people for his mission, together with a whole host of other resource leaders. Many people are assisting us in this institute, and to all of them, speakers, leaders, resource persons of all kinds, my warmest thanks. But you have come to hear them, and Dr. Lindbeck and Dr. Elliott, and all the many others who will serve you this week. Therefore, I will take no more time except to wish you the abiding presence of the Spirit, who will keep you both free and faithful through Jesus Christ and his gospel. Farewell.
Our thanks to Bill and our prayers for not only his safe passage at this time, but also his year. I hope that most of you brought along this big program that you received in the mail. There are extra copies available in the registrar's area. We'll have them also in the office. The Institute office for this week will be Seek Hall, room 208, the first room to the right as you enter the hall immediately on the other side of the roadway. Now, there are two pieces of information we want you to have regarding the program proper, and we'd like to have both Professor Conrad and Dr. Feucht come up and give these to you in tandem. This is material about the morning discussion groups beginning tomorrow and also the afternoon workshops. Professor Conrad and Dr. Feucht, if you'll come immediately, too.
Would you take out the mimeograph piece in your registration blank, which gives all of the room assignments? You notice that it contains a minimal time schedule, as well as then the room assignments for the discussion groups, which will follow the morning presentations. Due to the late start this morning, there is no discussion group meeting today. These will start tomorrow and run through Thursday. And the discussion group reports will be made on Thursday evening on your big program. This is noted that on Thursday evening. Well, look at your mimeograph sheet, bottom right-hand corner. You'll see Thursday, 7:30 p.m. reports. This is where these reports come in. Each of you has been assigned a discussion group. There should be a number corresponding to a group. It ranges from 1 to 17. Note that all of the S numbers refer to Seek Hall, which is immediately across the road here, and so does Faculty Lounge. Faculty Lounge is that little hole down in
bottom of seats. That's a plug for a better faculty lounge. And so it is also Seek Hall. Well, I hate to call it basement. Most churches are using a very euphemistic term called undercroft. So we'll call it undercroft of Seek Hall, way to the left as you face the building. Down there is the faculty lounge. Then you'll notice that group 11 meets in library conference room. The library is the opposite direction across the pool and at the southern edge of the campus. And all of the L numbers refer to library rooms. You may get a little bit confused as to precisely where to find these, so you may have to ask. But 101 and all 1 numbers in the library are in the undercroft of the library, bottom floor. There are none of these meeting rooms on the main floor as you walk in. The 3 numbers are the upper croft of the library, or the third floor, so to speak. If there is any confusion about this, I'm sure that if you nab somebody who looks like they may know something, they could give you a bit of direction on that. Afternoon program, these are divided again according to the divisions, and it indicates that all divisions start in the same room and then split later, as in the case of divisions 1 and 2. And if you figured out the alphabet soup for the morning, it shouldn't be any problem figuring out these rooms for the afternoon. There is one change. Division 1, Section B, meets in S201 and S206. That's a large group, so we added 206 to that, and the chairman of that group is Hairboth. Paul, I guess you're alerted to that. Is he here?
He knows it.
He knows it. All right, very good. Now I'd like to give you some responsibilities, and I would like to see that these persons are here. Now I'm giving both the chairman and the recorder of groups 1 through 17, as I just simply arbitrarily assigned them. Groups 1 through 17, this is the morning discussion groups. The chairman of group 1 is Armstead. Mr. Armstead, are you here? I want to see. Social Welfare 210, is he here? Well, we'll give him a chance to be informed by tomorrow. And the recorder, Gary Bendewald, is Bendewald here? We're batting zero. Where? Oh, all right. So just bear this in mind. Chairman Armstead, recorder Bendewald. Group 2, Chairman James Berner, recorder Oscar Bonert. Group 3, Chairman Vic Constein, Recorder Dean Dahman. Group 4, Chairman Robert Dittman, Recorder Philip Gerken. Group 5, Chairman Walter Hartkopf, Recorder Otto Hinsey. Group 6, Chairman Clemens Hartfield, Recorder Richard Koenig. Group 7, Chairman Elmer Kieninger, Recorder Lucille Kloss. Group 8, Stephen Mazak, Chairman Paul Elbrecht, Recorder. Group 9, Ed May, Chairman, Recorder August Menicki. Group 10, Chairman Arby Patsky, Recorder George Staples. Group 11, Chairman Ken Mangelsdorf, Recorder Paul Spitz. Group 12, Norman Meyer, Chairman Philip Molnar, Recorder. Group 13, Charles Miller, Chairman Carl Telke, Recorder. Group 14, Len Stalke, Chairman, Recorder Martin Stuttman. Group 15, Les Ulrich, Chairman, Carl Lutz, Recorder. Group 16, Richard Sering, Chairman, Leslie Weber, Recorder. Group 17, Tom Zender is Chairman, and Carl Volz is Recorder. The recorders, especially, will be responsible to, by the noon lunch period, have something in hand that can be pretty well synthesized. We'd like to have these recorders try to meet together sometime during the lunch period, if they can all get, well, I don't think you can get 17 guys around one table. And the responsibility for making these reports concrete enough so that they make sense and are brief enough so they can be reported to the whole group lies in the hands of these three persons, Ed May, Paul Spitz, and Carl Volz, Ed May, chairman.
You will try to pull these together each noon and work with Margaret Ryman, who is the secretary for this institute, and she will try to type this up in reasonably good form for you. Ed May, Paul Spitz, Carl Volz, and it will be basically those three responsible for the shape this thing takes for Thursday evening. The afternoon groups, Dave's pushing me here, the chairman of each division is responsible for the report on Friday morning from their afternoon groups. Each of these little groups in the afternoon should have at least a recorder who can then get together with the division chairman and say, here's what happened here, and we would like to put this together so that you can have something to report on Friday morning. That basically covers my material.
Well, thank you very much. We're trying to keep on schedule immediately then to Dr. Floyd for orientation on the afternoon.
One last note. Maybe it would be good in the little daily bulletin that's going to be used to repeat all these chairmen and recorders. So we'll put it in writing, too.
Our Detroit convention gave to our church some new marching orders that are so challenging it'll take a decade to work them out. This institute has been arranged interdepartmentally to help us work out those big marching orders. As I see it, the church faces three great tasks. The one is to help more of our people move from static church membership to dynamic discipleship. Secondly, to prepare every Christian for witness in his daily vocation. And thirdly, to help our congregations, as congregations, to move from a self-centered existence and from mere traditional operation to a mission to themselves and to the whole community. These are three great assignments which we in parish education, and I'm sure every other board of synod, has in mind. And therefore, Detroit said also to the board of parish education and the other individual boards, do this not only with study, but do it with action. Now, the workshops this afternoon are to work out what has been worked in the morning. That means to move it into some tangible suggestions that can be carried into the field. The Apostle Paul, you know, has that passage in Philippians, work out your own salvation. But then in the very next verse, he gives us the motive. He says, for God is working in you. And both of these aspects need to be kept in mind as we go into these workshops. Now there's a chairman for each workshop, and there's a chairman for each section. The work has been pretty well planned by all the divisions. We are asking each division to have an editor and probably a committee to help him to prepare a short capsule for the report on Friday and a longer mimeographed resume that can be shared with every attendant and participant at this institute. The content might be, find the chief concerns. On what was their consensus and what deserves serious attention in the months and years which lie ahead, keeping your target in mind, which is the local congregation. And we of Synod and you of the district, we are but servants of our Lord to serve the congregations where the real work of the church has to be done through the role of the laity. If you need audio visuals, be sure and make your needs known already today to Professor Pfitzer. The bookshop will have a very special display of materials on the role of the laity together with a bibliography, which I think will be helpful. So let's work out what has been worked in our presentations throughout this week.
Fellow redeemed, there's very little that a person can say about the Institute at the time of its beginning after the many things which have been said adequately and eloquently here this morning. There is but one thing that I'd like to emphasize, and it is a thought which was touched upon by the president of Concordia Seminary, and that is the eschatology, the last days in which we are living. Everything that we do in our church must reflect our activity in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've been doing at district conventions this year, we've been calling attention to the fact that the Synod has 8 objects in its constitution, of course, for being a synod and what the synod seeks to achieve. These are condensed popularly, I think, into 2, and that is the preservation of the precious word of God among us, and the second is the sharing of this word with as many people as we possibly can. This is why we have the Church in Mission Institute, and from year to year this takes on an added depth in dimension, and from year to year those who form the program keep in mind that we are approaching the great day of the Lord, when we, if this be so with us, are alive at the coming of the Lord, will be caught up together with them that are asleep, neither one having an advantage over the other, but will be forever with the Lord. God has his elect. The elect will hear the word. But we are among the people to whom God has said, get the word out. And this is why we are here. This is our objective. And in order that we might be able to do this the better, we have people with us who are from other persuasions as far as denominational lines are concerned. We are listening to men who have not been in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and are not, but we listen anxiously to them, because if we are to walk together with the whole family of God, we do need to understand one another, and we need to understand from others too what the great problems of the world are. These are the thoughts that I'd like to leave with you this morning, and wish you the blessings of God throughout this week, and then in the years that lie ahead, as we go out together to work for him who worked for us and unto death. He who was delivered for our offenses was raised again for our justification. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with us all. At this moment, you do expect me to say something, though, about the Institute and the appreciation which I may have and which I hope all of you share. In other words, I'm going to say something that you anticipate I would say. And in your anticipation, I hope there was also this, that there was agreement. Namely, that we appreciate the fact that all of the speakers, those of the morning and afternoon, put in a tremendous amount of work in order to produce what they did produce for our benefit. I shall not repeat what Dr. Schuller said, except to say that I look for with eager anticipation for the appearance of the things that have been said here in print, so that in the quiet of our studies we may read and reflect and get further benefit as we think back upon the remarks that were made and upon our having come together here. Further, I should express my appreciation too for this, that all of you have come. For this was an institute which would have been impossible without an attendance. And so institutes are carried on by the people who are present under the leadership of others who have done this magnificent job which they did for this one, and to talk with one another as to the implementation of the things that have been said and things that have been said in the past, hearkening back particularly to the most recent convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with its fine affirmations of mission. And this was the emphasis for this institute, and I think that this emphasis was carried out wonderfully. And as I listened to the reports which were given by the heads of the discussion groups, I felt that this must have been, for all of us, a very fruitful coming together and a fruitful talking together. Now, as we have talked together, we go back to the places from which we came, and if there were 375 places from which you did come, then there will be that many places to which you went back or will go back. And when you go back, you will be thinking of what you're going to do with what you said here and what you heard others say. And at this point, I want to relate this that we have done here in these days of discussion to the things that my colleagues and I have been saying to the conventions of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in the districts in North America and in South America, beginning with January, all 37 of them. When the report of the work of the church at large was given to the districts, there were three things that were kept in mind. Number one, the goal that all of us have together, and this goal was certainly in our minds as we were here talking about the various subjects and topics for this institute. The goal is to get the word out to the most of the people, to get the precious word of the gospel, the good news for a bad situation, as it has been termed here, to get this word out, the story of Jesus Christ and Him crucified for all the people of all times and of all generations. That's the goal. And to achieve that goal, the synod was organized and congregations came together. And to help achieve this goal, you came in somehow in the relationship in which you are, into the church, into the congregations, and into the work. Secondly, and this we relate also to what was said here and done at this institute, we must keep in mind the situation in which we are. That is our environment, the environment in which we hope to achieve the goal. It's the environment of this present world with all its failures, with all the dreadful things that are round about. This is the environment in which you and I step as a church body and as a member of the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, to step into this situation and see that the goal is achieved. Finally, there is a how. There is a strategy which the Synod has employed through the years, and which again we relate to what was done here, or relate what was done here to this strategy. And the strategy is that of the organization, the coming together of the congregations to follow the apostolic example and to make the best possible use of the diversity of gifts which the Lord has given to His people. Now this strategy has taken a given form, the basis of which has gone through all the years and come to now. But as synod after synod met, there was an addition to the strategy, a reformulating of it, a restatement of the objectives and whatever you may think of in this area. And I call attention only to two recent improvements or additions to this strategy. That of 4 years ago at Cleveland, when God led the convention there to take the Doctrinal Unity Committee, which it had had for some years, and to make out of it the Commission on Theology and Church Relations, with this intent that the theology of the Commission on Theology and Church Relations would apply itself to the task of reviewing our theological position, our theological needs, the need of saying what the Scriptures mean to us, and then relate these also to other church bodies. That was a strategy which I think was, or a point in the strategy which I think was exceedingly important. And following that one came Detroit with its establishment on the basis of the mission survey report, the Commission on Mission and Ministry to the Church. This is why we were really here. To evaluate what we may do in order to serve, in order to be a minister, and in order to fulfill the mission which God has given us. And I pray that out of this work, which has just been taking form as far as application is concerned in this commission, will come many suggestions which will give further impetus to institutes like this, institutes on mission in the church, further impetus to study the basics, namely the Word of God, and to apply this to every situation in our life as Christians and as members of God's family, and of a segment of Christianity which is dedicated to getting the Word out in the situation in which it is by the means which God leads it to establish. And my prayer now is that as you return to your homes, you may carry with you the things that you heard, the things that also you contributed, and that out of this gathering of 375 people, there may come a forward thrust in the church through our particular synod, so that as we plan as though we'll be here forever and work as though today were the last one, we may reach the numbers of people that God wants us to reach, who are among the elect, chosen of the Father, sanctified by the Spirit, unto obedience by the sprinkling.